Sue. Hi, Sue. What's on your mind,
Hello.
ma'am?
I just heard your discussion about fish oil, and it led
Yes,
me to
ma'am.
think I'm recently was started on Eliquis, and also have been a proponent of fish oil for a long time. And the doctor and I have gone. We've had several discussions about you shouldn't combine the two, and it's a bit of a risk. But when I don't take it, I definitely feel different. And so he finally agreed that I could take it. But I'm just wondering what your thinking is on it,
Okay,
combining the two.
Thank you for bringing this up again, because I forgot a sometimes very important point about fish oil. Researchers found that the DHA fraction in fish oil makes a woman's platelets more slippery, but it doesn't do a darn thing for men.
Oh, really?
Really. And the EPA fraction in fish oil makes a man's platelets more slippery, but it doesn't do a darn thing for the ladies.
Oh, interesting.
Now, who knows why that's that way, but that's what the researchers reported. Now, fish oil always has both, so even if a person doesn't pay any attention to that, they're going to get some of what's necessary for them, but for them to make their platelets more slippery, I should say. I usually recommend to the guys, hey, you look for the one that's higher in the E fraction than the D fraction, just so you won't have to take as much to get the job done. And same thing for the D fraction for ladies, more D fraction than E fraction to get the job done. Now, insofar as that and Eliquis, no, one doesn't want to, without working with a healthcare professional who also knows natural medicine, one doesn't want to mix the Eliquis and the fish oil in big doses all at once. Instead, we start with some fish oil and cut back on the Eliquis some and so forth. In other words, while monitoring either the blood viscosity test, we would check how thick is the blood when I'm taking just Eliquis, or monitoring the platelet aggregation test, because the platelets are specifically the things that are supposed to be affected by those two things, the Eliquis and the fish oil. So we do the test, and then we'd make a little adjustment, do the test, make a little adjustment. And I know that means a couple, three tests, but that's the safest way of doing it. It's kind of hard to guess at it, too. And so I'd work with a doc who's skilled, knowledgeable in natural medicine and see if you can't get that done. But the fact that fish oil, and I'm going to repeat this, and I'll shut up, I promise. Now, the fact that fish oil, you can take so much of it that you'll bleed to death without a tourniquet, that's undisputable.
Really?
So fish oil can do it all by itself, yes. Danish researchers established that because they wanted to know why it was in this area of Greenland the natives hardly ever had a heart attack, but they had a lot of hemorrhagic strokes. And what they found is they had so much fish and fish oil in their diets that they hardly ever had heart attacks, but they also whacked themselves in the head living in primitive areas, and when they whacked themselves in the head, oh my goodness, they'd break a blood vessel and it would bleed into the brain. So it's a hemorrhagic stroke instead of a lack of blood flow stroke, you see. That's what was doing it. It was the fish oil.
In moderation, and you need testing to determine it, you could take fish oil with Eliquis.
You could, but the goal is to get the blink off the Eliquis, because the Eliquis has its own adverse effects, and the only adverse effect fish oil ever did have is taking too darn much of it and bleeding to death.
Right. Well, what I had AFib, and I'm in rhythm now, so that's not an issue, but he thinks
good.
I should stay on Eliquis probably, you know, it sounds like he's thinking the rest of my life. I'm not real happy about that, but what do you think?
Well, pretty obviously, this is my opinion, ma'am, but
I
think that it's irresponsible to keep anybody on an unnatural molecule blood thinner when there is a natural molecule blood thinner, just simply because of the relative risk, which is a heck of a lot lower with the natural blood thinner than with the unnatural molecule blood thinner. And both Eliquis and warfarin are unnatural molecule blood thinners.
Yeah. So the fish oil, I would try to tell him, or discuss with him, that the fish oil was sufficient. But he said it's like reading a headline versus reading this whole story.
Well, the whole story is you can bleed to death if you take too much fish oil, so don't do that. By the way, it takes approximately 3 to 4 tablespoons a day to do that, but you can do it. Yeah, so if one monitors with the testing, one can slowly switch over. I'm not going
to
talk about a rapid treatment.
I need to go to the testing then, is what I should
do. Yeah, and by the way, If he's not a natural medicine doctor, then talk to him about the platelet aggregometer at the University of Washington lab, because that is a very conventional laboratory, and he would even believe in them, and they will tell him how slippery your platelets are at any time the test is done.
And what is the second word after platelet?
Okay, let me spell it for you. A-G-G.
Yeah.
R-E-G.
Yeah.
O-M.
Ometer.
There you go. Aggregometer. All that means is
measuring
the aggregation or stickiness.
All right. Well, that's extremely helpful, and I will definitely pursue that. And thank you so much. Can I ask you one more question about calcium, or have you got time?
Well, we have to go really quick, so I'll try to keep the answer short.
I just, after years of taking calcium, magnesium, and zinc pills, I've finally realized from reading that calcium isn't doing that much for your bones after you reach older age. I am 80, and that it could even be damaging to your heart now, and that try to get it from your food. So is that your thinking?
No, I usually ask folks to keep the calcium and magnesium about equal if they're at that age. But there's one other thing, ma'am. You might have heard me talking to the nice lady who told me right up front she was 84. And what I quoted to her was the research by Dr. Nancy Van Zandt that showed by the time we're all 60 years of age, 50% of us have low stomach acid. I didn't say no, but it was low stomach acid. And
right,
so we're
I
not.
I did hear that.
Yeah. So you might consider getting your stomach acidity checked, ma'am.
What does that have to do with the calcium intake, though?
Well, simple. We can't assimilate calcium, magnesium, zinc, copper, chromium, any mineral you want to name without enough hydrochloric acid in the stomach.
All right. Well, let's assume everything is fine somehow. But do you still take calcium, or you just rely on food?
No.
Does it affect your heart if you're taking it, you know, a supplement?
That's why I said, ma'am, that I'd cut it back to equal amounts. Now, you can find on the market calcium magnesium citrate, where, for example, there's 250 of calcium and 250 of magnesium, and if we use equal amounts, we're not going to get in trouble.
Okay, but, all right, yeah, and I do monitor those too, that's true. All right, thank you so much. I don't want to take any more time. You're just a blessing to all of us that listen. Thank you.
Well, that's kind of you, ma'am, and thank you for calling.
All right, you be well. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye now.